talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long tongue. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to announce today a special programming this afternoon of Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute. They are going to La Crosse. They're going to go to La Crosse to cover the visit by President Joe Biden to southwestern Wisconsin. And he's bringing with him Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture, former governor of Iowa, and undoubtedly my friend Ron Kind, a great congressman from La Crosse, will be with him. And I'll tell you what, Dom and Crute, graduates of UW-La Crosse, alums, they're going back to their home territory, to cover Joe Biden. So when you listen to Dom and Crute, Devil's Advocate this afternoon, you get some very special programming live from La Crosse. Now, I want to respond further to Jean of Eau Claire, who called just before the break, had some very, very wise things to say. And among them, two things. One is how the Republican Party seems to associate itself with every toxic malfunction of our society, every issue that's simply flat out toxic. And we were talking about the attacks on Dr. Fauci, who is really a fine man, doesn't make a lot of money, public servant, very humble guy. And he just says, hey, you know, I mean, very, very obvious things. Get vaccinated. And if you're not vaccinated, wear masks and social distance in the past and all that. And they're calling for his head, the Republicans, and calling to fire him and trying to demonize him. And then went on, she said she feels badly for the youth of the our youth now and the youth of upcoming generations. How are they ever possibly going to survive in a decent fashion in a country that is turning this way? And you know, it's a profound point, and I just want to say I'm an optimist. If you take a look in our nation's history, the Revolutionary War under George Washington, it wasn't at all clear that George Washington would win that war, and if he'd lost, they would have hanged him. And the British would have occupied this country and it would be like Canada now. And I like Canada and all that, but you know, they still have the Queen, you know, and all that kind of stuff and their money and everything. And that skeleton hand of aristocracy still kind of lurks around their throat. The Civil War, can you imagine the youth in 1861? The moms and dads had to say goodbye to their sons, the daughters who were nurses, and they're gonna go south to what? Fight people from other states in the Union? Some of them, their relatives. 600,000 people died in the Civil War, and largely they didn't have anesthetic, and you know they didn't have, you know, surgical techniques, and they died of, you know, infections and diseases after they were stabbed or shot. And a lot of people thought, how are you ever going to, fix this country up? We have a large African American population; they're going to continue to be abused. And what are we going to do in the North? But we survived, and there were 100 years of very bad things that happened to African Americans in this country after, in the 1870s, the Republicans withdrew from Reconstruction. But still, we survived. And then you have the Kennedy assassination. You have all the turmoil of the 60s. I mean, even worse, how about 1941? Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor, they start to take over Asia, the Nazis roll through Europe. If you were a young person then, you might easily say, oh my God, where's the world going? But we won the Second World War. We crushed Japanese imperialism, the samurai culture, we crushed the Nazis, and we came out a better country. And then we had the Russians, nuclear weapons, and JFK had to stare them down in Cuba, and finally, the Berlin Wall came down and momentarily Russia was free. Now it's back in organized crime. And yes, we have dissension in the country. And yes, we have a Republican Party that is really decomposing. It's like a corpse. It died, and now the flesh is starting to rot. And the question is, can it be reconstructed as a Republican Party or some other kind of party? That's history. You know, that's part of history. But the core thing is our values, our constitution, and the character of our people. And I'm very, very enthusiastic about that. So very optimistic. This too shall pass, Gene. But thank you for calling in. Now, I want to get back to somebody who is a real part of the problem that Gene is describing, Crooked William Barr. Crooked William Barr, remember, part of the Trump cabinet, along with lying Mike Pompeo and some of the rest of them. But Crooked William Barr has been trying to revive his reputation. And he said a couple of things recently, and they were published in a book. He gave an interview that some people are saying, oh, he's not a bad guy after all. Oh, he's not a bad guy after all. Well, he is a bad guy after all. Here's what's going on. What he said was, as reported in this interview, is that he didn't want any part of the fraud claims on the election. That was ridiculous. And he told Trump that. Trump yelled at him. And so Fauci resigned because Trump was firing him sometime at the end of December. So therefore, he stood tall. Well, no. That is a scam. Here's what really happened. Barr said that he was afraid there was fraud, lying about it earlier than that. He told the U.S. attorneys, including in Michigan, to investigate fraud in the election. That was wrong. U.S. attorneys don't get deputized to launch investigations on their own after an election without evidence or complaint. But he did that. He ginned that up. He told the U.S. attorneys to investigate it. And then somebody asked him after the election, but before Trump fired him, somebody asked him, well, aren't you concerned about your place in history? What will history say about you? And you know what his response was? Quote, history is written by the winners, end quote. He is like a medieval courtier who sucks up to the king and cares about only one thing, his own power and surviving. So in the Ukraine investigation, if you remember that, and the Mueller report, he came out and lied about the Mueller report and basically spread disinformation that made it harder for Congress to go after him. They did go after him on one thing, remember, with the Russians, but Barr's lying had an effect because Barr thought that Trump could beat that impeachment, which he did, and therefore Barr would look good in history because it's written by winners. And initially after November 3rd, Barr thought maybe we can overturn this election by lying about fraud, and he went along with it. But Barr is crafty. He's crafty. He's the kind of courtier. There was a position in the Ottoman Empire, the caliph, the head guy, would have grand viziers, V-I-Z-I-E-R. And these were sneaky people who basically ran things for him and lied for him. And when things got bad, he'd order the guy executed. And the way they did it in the Ottoman Empire was they didn't torture him to death, which is what they normally did. As a sign of respect for him, they gave him the bowstring. I swear, that's what they said. They said, we will bestow on you the bowstring, and a guy would sneak up behind him with a bowstring and strangle him. And that was a sign of honor. That's essentially Trump and Barr. Barr lied for Trump continuously, engineered things for Trump, told U.S. attorneys to investigate fraud. But at the end, Barr realized that they wouldn't be winners on that. And whoever wrote history would not treat him kindly at all. And so he finally said to Trump, well, you know, you say there's fraud and, you know, maybe there is, but we're not going to be able to prove it. And you're not going to have the Supreme Court put you back in as president. So Barr was a rat who jumped off a sinking ship run by the head rat. And that's what happened. So then Trump yells at him, fires him. And what happens? And suddenly St. William Barr, suddenly a saint, comes out of the weeds, out of the tall grass, rattling, and goes, I'm a saint. I stood up to the guy. No, you didn't stand up to the guy. You sucked along and you enabled everything he did. Everything he did. From lying about the Ukraine impeachment, lying about what he did in Ukraine, saying there was fraud. You deputized the U.S. attorneys to go after fraud, you said. You don't do that after a democratically conducted election where there have been recounts in most of the states, most of the swing states, and where the U.S. Supreme Court has said it's fine. And state Supreme Courts, including Wisconsin, because Brian Hagedorn went over to the good constitutional side. You don't do that. What happened was he was a rat who stayed on the ship, but he jumped quicker than the other rats because he's sly. He's a grand vizier is what he is. And then Trump gave him the figurative bowstring. This is all this is. This is very strange. This isn't American at all, by the way. This is a very, very strange situation. The lines are alive. Do not hang up. I'll get to you right after the break. We're going to a break. Number is 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.